Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Hey, neighbors. If you're a guest today, my name is Trey Kelly. I am the pastor here. And last week, we started a brand new series called Over It. And the goal of the series is very simple, to teach us how to live life set free rather than set off by people and by situations. And it's built on a promise that we discovered last week from the God of the universe. And if you missed last week, man, I'm going to really encourage you, because our series kind of build on each other. If you don't already, you can grab our app at some point today that you can go back and kind of follow along and catch up with where we were last week. Because here's what we discovered last week. Good news. We can be set free from the people that set us off. And let's be honest. We all have people that set us off. And what we discovered last week is that God wants better for us than that. We can rise above that. We can live not controlled by the annoying habits, the bad tendencies, or even the major dysfunctions of other people in our life. And last week, we went straight to Jesus, and Jesus told us how to do this. And he started the way he always does with a very interesting observation. He basically challenged all of us that would call him our leader. And I know many of you do. One of the things I love about our church is that we might have some guests today who you wouldn't call yourself a Christian yet. Maybe you're kind of exploring faith. And we're so glad that you're here. We're honored that you're here. And this is what it means to follow Jesus. It means to make him the leader of your life. Many of us have made that decision, and we hope you will as well. And when you do, if you want to be set free, here's what Jesus says. He says, we need to embrace this truth. If I want to be set free, the path to better begins with me. It doesn't begin with me looking around at everybody else in my life and pointing out all their problems and pointing out all their inconsistencies. Jesus says, hey, you want better in your life? Start with yourself. And last week we looked at one of his teachings where he compared the problems in other people's lives to specks, because I don't know about you, but I'm usually not very aware of everything going on in someone else's life, and I have even less control over what someone else does. And so he says, hey, rather than worrying about the specks in other people's lives, let's worry about the planks in our own lives. Let's worry about the big issues that we are aware of, and let's worry about the big issues that we actually have control over in our own lives. And he said, that is the beginning to better. That's the beginning of the path forward. That when you feel set off, when you feel like you want to be upset with other people, to say, wait, what's going on in me? What's actually being set off here? And to go looking for the planks. And that's kind of where we left it last week, with the challenge to just say, hey, when you find yourselves in tense situations, in tense moments, look inward and say, all right, Jesus, what's happening in me? What do you want to change in me? What do you want to fix in me? And I know many of you, you went home, you did that this week, you started praying, you started looking. And hopefully God revealed some things in your life, some steps you can take. But I also bet something else happened. I bet there are certain relationships in your life, certain moments, certain people that you feel over. And when you started looking at your plank and you started saying, okay, God, what can I bring in this situation? What do I need to change? What can I fix? You notice something, and you kind of even want to say it out loud because you feel a little guilty about it. But you noticed that your plank wasn't really the problem. The problem was them. The problem was their immature behavior. Or the problem was their inability to understand, qualifications, or to understand what you should and should not do. The problem for some people in your life is that they haven't been able to beat that addiction and take responsibility for your own lives. And so as we're talking about the planks and removing our planks, we're all sitting and saying, okay, look, I can remove the plank in my life. How is me removing the plank going to fix their addiction? How is me removing the plank going to fix the fact that they have completely unrealistic expectations for what a friend or family member should do? How is me removing the plank in my life going to fix the fact that they tend to manipulate and try to control to get their own way? How does me removing the plank in my life fix any of that? And the answer is very simple. It doesn't. It doesn't fix any of those things. So the question then is, all right, if I want to go through life set free, what am I supposed to do? What do we do when we find out in certain relationships our plank isn't the problem, then how do we proceed? That's the question I want us to tackle today. And as we did last week, we are going to turn to Jesus for the answer, because Jesus completely and totally relates to this problem. Because maybe you don't know this about Jesus, but Jesus was perfect. Jesus never sinned. Jesus never did anything his Father didn't want him to do while he was on earth, which means Jesus had no planks. There was nothing for him to work on in his life, but he was constantly engaged in people problems. But they weren't his fault. They had nothing to do with the plank. So what I want to do today, and including today and actually next week, is I want to turn to Jesus to say, okay, what do we do, Jesus? What do we do with these relationships with our friends and our family and our neighbors and our coworkers? What do we do when we're doing the best we can in our own lives and our own hearts, but man, our plank isn't the problem. They're the ones with the problem. What are we supposed to do? And here's what Jesus would say. He would say, look, I get it, been there, done that, and my answer is still the same. If you want to be set free, the path to better will begin in your life, in your heart. It has to start here. You have to look inward and say, all right, what is going on inside of me? And when you've done that, and when it is clear that in this situation, your plank isn't the problem, you have to take steps to keep their planks from becoming your problem. So how do we do that? What does that look like? Here's what Jesus would say. A better path requires better boundaries. Now, boundaries are kind of a buzzword, so I want to spend some time explaining what boundaries mean. In fact, we're going to spend the next 2 weeks talking about boundaries. I want to be very clear what boundaries are and what boundaries are not. Boundaries are not walls we put up to keep people out. Boundaries are simply steps we take to keep other people's problems from becoming our problem. It's a way of us clearly establishing what is and what isn't in and under our control. As I said, this week, I just want to simply lay the groundwork for what boundaries are. Hope you'll come back next week. Next week, we're going to talk about how to specifically put these into practice in our lives. But today, I just want everybody to fully understand what boundaries look like and how they function. And so the best way to explain boundaries is to go to something we all completely and perfectly understand in the real world. In the real world, we all understand property lines. We fully, completely understand it. If you own a house, if you rent a house, you understand property lines. You understand there is a line not set by you between your house and your neighbor's house. And you understand that property line makes some things clear. That property line shows what you own and what you don't own. That property line reveals places where you have rights. On your property, you have rights to do things on that property. You have rights to build on that property. You have rights to landscape on that property. Those rights end at the property line. You also have obligations to that property. You have to pay taxes on that property. If you live in an HOA, there are certain landscaping obligations you have to maintain on that property. Again, those obligations stop at the property line. You completely and totally understand this. It's never crossed your mind to pay your neighbor's taxes. Ever. We completely and totally understand this in the real world. But we miss this completely when it comes to our relationships with other people. We get so confused about property lines. We get so confused about what's ours, what we have rights and obligations to maintain, and what is not ours, what we don't have rights and what we don't have obligations to maintain. And my goal today is very simple, is to help us understand, maybe for the first time, what the proper property lines look like when it comes to our relationships with other people. And to understand proper property lines, you have to go to a higher authority than yourself. See, so many times with other people, we just kind of pick and we just kind of choose and we just kind of hope. But in the real world, you would never do that. You would never drive in a neighborhood, look at a piece of property, and just start building on it. You would never, even in your own house, say, you know what, I want to put up a fence. And so to put up the fence, I'm just going to put it up where I stop cutting the grass. That seems good. That seems fair. No, you would go to a higher authority. You'd go to the county. You'd go to the city. You'd pull a survey. And you'd clearly establish where the property lines are so that then you could put a fence up. Because it's a big deal to put up a fence. You don't want to put a fence up in your neighbor's yard because then your neighbor can tear it down. We get this in the real world. But when it comes to our relationships, we don't. We just pick, we choose, we guess. Well, today, I want us to go to a higher authority to clearly, maybe for the first time, help us understand what is and what is not our property. And here's what you're going to discover. For the vast majority of us, when it comes to the relationships that we are over, that we are done with, the reason we're done is because we have claimed more property than belongs to us. You are claiming rights and obligations to someone else's life. And that's why you're so frustrated. And it's why you're so tired. So let me set you free today. You cannot fix them. And it's not your responsibility to try. And the sooner we embrace that, the sooner we understand what is our responsibility, the sooner we understand what is our property, what we do own, what we do control, and then take steps to protect that property, keep the right things in and keep the wrong things out, the better equipped we will be to handle the other people in our life. And I know for some of you, you're going to push back and you say, wait. You're saying that there are people in my life that I'm taking more ownership for than I should, and I get that. But now you're saying I should build a boundary to kind of protect myself from them and like limit their access to me and do what they could do. That doesn't sound kind at all. That doesn't sound loving at all. How could we do that? And the answer is very simple. We can give unconditional love without granting unlimited access. Let me say that again. We can give unconditional love without granting unlimited access to our lives. And you want to push back and say, how? How in the world is that possible? How can we love people completely but limit their access to us? And Jesus would step into this moment and say, the same way I did. Because that's what I did. I came to earth to give completely and totally unconditional love. But I did not grant unlimited access to me. And if you want to live set free, if you want to thrive moving forward, specifically and especially with the people in your lives who maybe have addiction issues or codependency issues or dysfunction issues or space issues, time issues, if you want to be set free from that, then you have to learn that you can give unconditional love without granting unlimited access. And the beginning of that process is to understand biblical property lines, to understand what the God of the universe says is your responsibility and what isn't your responsibility, and to then begin to build some boundaries to protect yourself and your property, your soul, from anything that might come against it. And you say, but Jesus, I don't know that. That still just feels wrong. And Jesus says, well, fine, I'll make it easier for you. I'll command you to do this. You are commanded to do what I'm saying. For some of you who know the Bible, you're like, when does Jesus command us to do this? When does Jesus command us to understand property lines? When does Jesus command us to understand boundaries? And the answer is in one of Jesus' most famous conversations that he ever had. He had this really long conversation with his disciples on the night he was going to be arrested, handed over to the Roman government, and later killed the next day. And that night is when he does all these things you probably heard about. It's when he institutes the Lord's Supper. It's when he washes his disciples' feet. And in the middle of that, he gives them a new command. And if you've been on Wellspring a lot, we talk about this command all the time because it drives everything that made the church successful for 2,000 years. And if you need to be refreshed, here's what Jesus says in that moment. He says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. This is new. This is different. This is better than anything I've said before. And he says, love each other. And we want to push back and say, well, there it is. There it is. Love each other. We're supposed to love each other. That means sacrifice for each other. That means give up everything. That means do whatever they need me to do. That means be at their beck and call. That means drop everything for them. That's what love means, right? And Jesus says, well, okay, that you can think that, but I'm going to clarify this for you. Because I've given you a new commandment, which means I'm changing something. Is that I want you to love other people. But then he tells us how. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Jesus made himself our standard. He made himself our standard in relationships. He made himself our standard when we discover that our plank isn't the problem. How do we love other people? And Jesus says, by understanding property lines and by creating healthy boundaries. Jesus himself had boundaries. And I know some of you are like, what? When did Jesus have boundaries? I'm glad you asked because I want to share some of them with you because there are several places where Jesus had boundaries on his life. Number one, he had boundaries around his personal time. If you've ever read the four biographies of Jesus's life, which we get to see and study and understand how he felt, you know that he moved on his own time. There were times he made people wait. There were times he didn't show up for a couple of days. There were times that his disciples and his followers had no access to him whatsoever. He would go away, he would pray, he would be by himself, and he was not available to his disciples. And Jesus was perfect. He was completely loving. Jesus valued his sleep greatly. We know that because there's one story where Jesus and his disciples are in a boat. They're crossing the Sea of Galilee. A storm comes up. They get very scared. They try to wake Jesus up. He will not wake up. They try again. Maybe he was a teenage boy. I'm not sure. But they tried desperately to wake him up. And he finally kind of wakes up with one eye like, what do you want? And he calms the storm and he gets frustrated for waking him up. Jesus moved on his own time. People were constantly saying, come here, come here, come here. And Jesus had a boundary around that. He said, look, I'm going to move when I'm ready to move. I know what is best, and that's what I'm going to do. So he had boundaries around his time. He also had boundaries around his personal beliefs. People were constantly trying to get Jesus to change his mind about things. The religious leaders were constantly arguing with Jesus, telling them he was wrong. Sometimes he engaged, sometimes he did not. Even the people in his life that were his friends, his closest followers, were constantly trying to get him to change his mind. They were asking for stuff. They wanted extra. They wanted more. Even his disciples sometimes were manipulative in the way they did this. They would try to backdoor in their way to a position, and they try to backdoor their way to power. One time, two disciples wanted a special position in Jesus' kingdom moving forward, but they were too afraid to ask for it. So do you know what they did? They convinced their mommy to go ask for them. Their mommy went to Jesus and said, my sons would like so-and-so. You know what Jesus said to their mommy? No. He said no to somebody's mother. And he was kind and he was loving and he was gentle. But he had a boundary around what he believed and what he knew to be true. And when people said, well, I disagree with you, he said, well, I'm very sorry about that, but I'm not changing my mind. He had a boundary around his personal belief. He also had boundaries around personal responsibility. If you've ever read the biographies of Jesus' life and you've seen the life of his disciples, it's not like these guys got everything right. In fact, they got most of it wrong. But he didn't swoop in and try to solve every problem they had. He didn't constantly try to protect them from making mistakes. In fact, he allowed them to make mistakes. He allowed them to fail. And then he would come along beside them and he would teach them why they were wrong and he would encourage them to move forward. They would ask questions. He would sometimes say yes. He would just say no. He didn't feel bound by pleasing them and making them happy in the moment. He had boundaries around that. He knew what his responsibility was. Now, this is really going to blow your mind. Jesus also had boundaries around personal friendships. He had 12 disciples, but he was closer with three of them than the other nine. Peter, James, and John were Jesus' best friends on earth. And he spent more time with them. He invited them to more things. They had a more intimate picture of his life. The other nine didn't have that. There were other people he didn't have conversations with at all. You know what that means? That means you don't have to be best friends with everybody. You are allowed to have closer friendships with some people than with other people. You do not have to get along with everyone. Jesus did not get along with everyone. There were people who despised Jesus, and there were people who were constantly accusing Jesus of doing bad things. Jesus did not chase them and try to change their mind. Jesus didn't spend time talking to his friends about, I don't know why the Pharisees are so mean to me. I wish this guy, man, all the stuff they're saying, it's just not true. There's just a bunch of haters. That's their problem. Like, he didn't do that. He had boundaries in his life, and he was okay that other people didn't like him. Now, the question is this. Okay, how could Jesus do that? Where did he gain the confidence to live his life that way? And the answer is he had perfect perspective when it comes to our relational property lines. He perfectly and completely understood what was his job, and he fulfilled it perfectly. And he understood what wasn't his job. And he took steps to protect himself from the influence of people trying to get him to change his mind. I told you my goal today was simply for us to begin to understand boundaries. There is no better way to understand boundaries than to clearly see the property lines God has placed in our lives. And so here's what I want to do for the rest of our time. I want to show you two property lines that are evident in the life of Jesus and that are evident in the teachings of the early church that he got right. And if we can begin to observe these property lines in our own life, and we can begin to ask God to show us where we overstep and show us where we miss, we then can begin to understand, maybe for the first time, what's ours and what's not. And then if you come back next week, we're going to take this, we're going to move forward into, okay, now that we understand our property lines, how do we build boundaries to protect ourselves? But we can't build the boundaries until we understand the property lines that are so perfectly revealed in the life of Jesus. Here's the first one. The first thing I see when I look at Jesus' life, he embraced the property line of this truth. I am called to let God lead my life. Now, for some of you, you're like, well, yeah, of course. But that is a property line because that describes what we own and what we do not own. Meaning, if there is a tension in our lives between what God has said to us in his word, what we know God would want, and someone else in our lives, a relationship, and they don't want us to do what God would want us to do. What we own is our obedience. Well, I'm going to obey God. What we don't own is their frustration or anger at our obedience. Here's what that means. That means if there are relationships in your life that are constantly at odds because you're pursuing Jesus, you're following Jesus, and your life is matching up to Jesus, and they don't like it. And they manipulate you, and they want to say negative things about it, and they're trying to talk you out of it. You have permission in the name of Jesus to not engage in that conversation. That means if they call you and they want to talk about how mad they are, don't take the call. That's a boundary. And you have permission to do that because you own your behavior. You do not own their behavior. You own your obedience. You don't own their response. And some of you are thinking, well, that sounds a little harsh. That's a little mean. Are you sure? Well, Jesus did it. There was one time Jesus was hanging out with his disciples. They were on the way to Jerusalem, and he was trying to prepare them for what was about to happen. And so he tells his disciples, he said, hey, guys, I just need you to know when we get there, I'm going to be arrested, and I'm going to be turned over to the Romans, and they're going to kill me, and I'm going to come back to life, so don't worry, but this is what's going to happen. And when they heard the words kill, they heard nothing else. And Peter, Jesus' best friend, pipes up in that moment, and he says, no, Jesus, I won't let it happen. That'll never happen to you. You know what Jesus does? He basically looks at Peter and says, just stop, man. Just slow your roll. He actually calls Peter Satan. He says, get behind me, Satan. He says, not today, Satan. Now, I don't recommend you call anybody in your life Satan. Now, if you've walked on water recently, then maybe you can call someone Satan. I mean, that's, you know. But what Jesus was saying is, hey, man, I know what my God's told me to do. I'm doing it. And Peter, if you don't like it, not today, Satan. I ain't got time for it. And he shuts Peter down. This was his best friend. This was a guy he loved perfectly and completely. But it is completely reasonable and rational and loving when we understand what our God has called us to do, to limit the influence of the voices in our life that actively don't want us to pursue God in his way. That is a boundary, and it is completely and totally reasonable and rational and expected. It's what we should do because it's what Jesus did. And that only happens when we truly understand what we are and we are not responsible for. We are responsible for our obedience. We are not responsible for other people's response to our obedience. One thing we own, the other we don't. And that actually leads us to the second property line. The first one is very simple. I'm supposed to follow God with all my heart. And the second one, Jesus understood as well. I can't help someone that needs help. I can only help someone that wants help. Now, folks, this one takes a lifetime to understand. But let me say what is really happening here. We started last week with, if I want to be set free, the path to better begins with me. Well, that principle is universal in every person's life. The path to better begins with them. The path to better begins with them deciding or me deciding that we want better. And until that decision is made, no outside help and influence will change anything. Let's be honest. Most of us in this room, the relationships were over. The people were over. The situations were over. It's because we're trying to help people that don't want our help. I mean, you say, but they need it. Well, of course they need it. But that's not the point. The point isn't need. The point is want. And Jesus perfectly understood we all needed help. But he couldn't help people that needed help. He could only help people that wanted help. We see this over and over in his life. People come to Jesus. They ask him a question. He gives them an answer. They don't like his answer, and they walk away, and Jesus never chased them. Jesus never says, whoa, wait, I misspoke. Hold on, let me try again. Come back. He didn't do that because he understood, hey, the path to better is going to begin in their life. It's going to begin in their heart. And until they're there, I can't chase them. You know what I can do? I'll pray for them. And he prayed for all people. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed. But he understood his limitations as a human. He understood that he could only help people that wanted help. He couldn't help people that needed it. I know that sounds harsh. Can you imagine the difference tomorrow if you begin to approach life with these two property lines in place? With these two property lines of understanding, hey, my job is to follow God, and my job is to help people that want my help. Don't you think those two property lines would make it easier for us to follow Jesus' suggestion that a better path requires better boundaries? Couldn't we build better protections, better barriers around our own heart, about our own hopes, about our own dreams, about our own expectations when we understood, hey, I can only control myself, I can only own myself, and my job is to follow God, and I can only help people that want my help. And everything else, I'm going to pray and leave it up to him. Think about that. Doesn't that sound better? And I know for some of us, we're still convinced boundaries just sound mean. Boundaries just sound unkind. Boundaries just sound unloving. But let me help you. Boundaries are the most loving thing we can ever do. Because when we understand our property lines and when we begin to put boundaries in place, you know what happens? Our relationship with the other people, it improves. It gets better because, number one, we are better equipped to deal with their situation and their circumstances. because we deal with it in our own time and on our own terms. We deal with it when we are well rested and when we are prayed up and when we are in a good mood and when we are ready to deal with whatever question or attack they're going to bring our way. Why do you think Jesus went away and prayed so much? He had to go away and fill up so that he could pour out every single day. And when we understand property lines and begin to implement boundaries, the relationship improves because we resent them less and love them more. And here's the great part. This happens without them doing a thing. Because here's the deal. It's not their fault we've claimed property in their lives. It's not their fault. It's our fault. And we resent them for not thanking us for taking their property. What do you do to someone who takes your property? Do you thank them? Or do you call the police and have them thrown in jail? But this is something we fundamentally get when it comes to the real world, but we miss when it comes to relationships. And what Jesus is saying is he's saying, guys, I get it. I know you love them. I know you want to help them. But a better path requires better boundaries. You have to understand what is and what isn't within your control. And when you learn to lean in and work as hard as you can with what is under your control, and you learn to release and set free to me and my Father what isn't under your control, you're going to find life gets better very quickly. You know the major benefit of boundaries, specifically with the people in our lives that we know really struggle, that we know have very big problems, and we're just waiting for rock bottom to hit? You know the power of boundaries in that moment? Boundaries allow us to be our best selves in their darkest moment. That's what boundaries do. They allow us to be full of love and compassion and mercy and wisdom and understanding rather than exhausted from cutting someone else's grass. That's the value of boundaries. And next week, we are going to talk very specifically about how to put them into practice in our lives. But this week, I have a homework assignment for you. I do not want you creating boundaries in your life this week. Do not create boundaries. I have one assignment. Ask God and ask His Holy Spirit to simply reveal the property lines in your life and to help you begin to see where either you are overstepping your property line, or you've allowed someone to overstep into yours. And to help you remember, here are the property lines. Property line number one, I am called to let God lead my life. Where have I ceded ground to other people in my life? Where have I allowed their voice to become louder than God's voice? Where am I trying to make my voice louder than the voice of God in someone else's life? Because that's not my property. Ask God to show that to you this week. Number two, ask God to reveal, I can't help someone that needs help. I can only help someone that wants help. Where are you currently trying to help someone because you think they need it, but they don't want it? It's real simple to know. Have they ever asked for your help? And if they've never asked, if they've never given you permission to take a right or an obligation on their property, is it possible that you've overstepped a property line and that is the very reason you feel the way you feel? See, my prayer this week is that God will reveal these things to us, that He'll begin to show us where we've overstepped. And then next week, we'll all come back together and we'll learn to put into practice what we've been told, that a better path requires better boundaries, loving boundaries, healthy boundaries, boundaries that allow us to be our best, boundaries that allow us to love the most. Boundaries that position us the same way our Heavenly Father positioned His Son. Ready, willing, and able to run in the second we ask for help. With no judgment, with no condemnation, with unconditional love. And the way He could grant that unconditional love is He knew He couldn't give us unlimited access. So my prayers this week is that God will reveal where we've overstepped on our property lines. that'll bring us back next week so we can learn how to create some healthy boundaries and that we can move forward prepared to be our best when the people in our lives are at their worst. Let me pray. Father, we just love you so much. We're so thankful for your son. We're so thankful for his example. We're so thankful for his practicality. We're so thankful for his love for us. And God, I just pray today that you will reveal in our lives where we have overstepped the property line. Reveal in our lives where we've allowed someone to step onto our property. God, reveal that to us this week and then bring us back next week and teach us how to create boundaries, how to create the healthy protections that protect us to play your role in your story. God, we love you. Give us wisdom. Give us clarity. Give us your patience and give us your peace as we seek to become the best we can be for the people you've placed in our lives who ask us to help. May we be ready and willing to step into that moment just like your son did for us. We love you and we're so thankful. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.